All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Higher Power Tech Podcast, the podcast that connects you to the higher hiring power you deserve. My name is Mark Comar, and my co-host
is Josh Darnes.
And we're happy to join you guys today. Today, we're going to be talking about demystifying the hiring process, a guide for job seekers. Okay. And, you know, my pretty co-host with his beard lineup over there, it's an inside joke, but
I try.
He's a pretty guy, ladies and gentlemen. He wants to make sure it always stays crisp for you all in the presentation. But today we're going to talk about the hiring process and for you job seekers, because right now we're going through a very unique time. Google just made some big layoffs, that being one of the preeminent companies and large companies right now that everybody, you know, looks towards as North Star to try to emulate. That's scary, right? When they're making large layoffs, right? But in a time right now where there are large layoffs, there still is opportunity and we can sharpen our skills if we're smart and don't get spooked. And that's why we're glad you guys join us here, so we can be the calm in the noise. We can cut out the white noise and we can give you particulars that will allow you to continue to set yourself up well for the next ability to be procured and be reached out to. So we're going to discuss today between Josh and I three major points that we want to talk to you guys. We have actually 10, right, Jay?
We do. We have a lot.
But we're going to discuss three with you all. And in order to get the last seven, you guys are going to need to go to our website, higherpowertech.com, to be able to get the last seven. But these first three that we're going to discuss, I'm going to give you the overview outline, and then we're going to break it down. But the first topic we're going to discuss is crafting a standout resume. I know you've done this before, you've heard about it before, but we have, I do believe, very unique ideas that will help you out with this one, okay? Number two, we're going to talk about nailing the job application. With AI being what it is right now, Josh has been working with some new tools and some new experiences he's learned. I think that you all may really want to listen to on the process that he's found out with these new tools. So the third process we're going to discuss is preparing for the job interview itself. Again, unique ideas that I think right now in 2024, in this particular time that we're at right now, you may want to pay attention to what we have to say. So let's get straight to it. The first one, crafting a standout resume. Jay, I'm going to let you take the floor on this one and we'll go from there.
All right. This one's kind of fun. Again, I'm Josh Starnes. If you didn't catch our last episode, we kind of went over our backgrounds of who we are and where we've been and what we've done. So if you haven't checked that one out, make sure you get to the website and check it out. But today we're going to be talking about the three things that Mark had brought up. First and foremost is crafting a standout resume. Now, what is a resume? A resume is a direct representation of yourself. It's a selling tool. It's letting the hiring manager, the hiring company, whoever, procurement, talent acquisition, who's ever looking at this resume, this is giving them an understanding of who you are, what you've done, and if you're fit for the job. I am myself am very biased about a resume. I don't think, no matter how good you are, I don't think a resume is an exact representation of who you are. Mm-hmm. I think that there are cultural fits. It doesn't matter how smart you are. There are companies that are the right ones and the wrong ones. So you need to keep that in mind as well. However, in crafting a standout resume, this resume should always, to the best of your ability, showcase your talents. If you are applying for a job, I don't care if it's a cashier or an ETL developer, it needs to showcase what your what you've done in your past that would make you successful in this role. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, let's just say you are applying for a software engineer position. Your resume should showcase all of the softwares you've worked with, the companies that you've worked with, the length of time that they've worked with. Now, here's one thing that I've noticed. There are a lot of individuals who are contract workers, meaning they work 2 months, 3 months, a year, but they jump around. A lot of hiring managers see that as, oh, they're not stable, they jump around. So if you are a contract worker, your resume needs to state, hey, I've worked contracts. Because then they know it's not that you've been jumping jobs, it's your job ended and you got another one through a certain agency. So you need to make sure it's very clear. Also, if you're a software engineer and you're going for a job that's slightly different than what you've done before, mm-hmm. you need to do your best to tie them in together. Your resume should be fitted towards that specific industry that you're trying to get into. So you need to make sure you...
Go ahead. You need to make sure, sorry.
I'm just going to make sure that your dates are accurate, You're especially because these people look at all of that stuff.
And I wanted to just piggyback real quick on the contract work, because a lot of that since COVID, since a lot of remote work has been happening, a lot of people have taken on a lot more contract work, right? So they can be remote, they can be over in, Turkey working while, they're, still working with a contract in the stateside. What you want to make sure you're clear on, ladies and gentlemen, is especially if you're working with a staffing firm or you're working with a rep, you want to make sure that you let that be known off top too. I know we're talking about a resume right now, but you want to make sure across all spectrums of your presentation, you let it be known that you are willing to be with an organization and work with an organization on their terms. And that can be, say, like Josh has already stated, making sure you let that be clear within the resume, letting them know that you're not hopping just to be hopping. You're not a bad employee. It's not the fact you can't get along with anybody. It's the fact that, yes, you are contract, but that does not mean that you are, not unless you are, but you got to be clear, okay, across yes. all your communication outlets. And we're just talking right now about the resume. I just want to throw that in there.
Yeah, you don't want to be disqualified because you look as like you're a job hopper and you're really not. So that's very important to be very, very clear on your resume. Now, here's another thing is as a candidate looking for a job, you need to, whether if you're working with an agency or directly with the manager, you need to understand the job description. You need to understand what they're looking for. Now, if you're a Salesforce engineer and the manager's like, oh, I have to have CPQ. They have to. And you don't have CPQ, there's a lot of time being wasted. But if you have done CPQ, I don't care if it was 4 years ago, it needs to be listed clearly on your resume because that's one of the top three, top five, top 10, whatever the manager wants to give you. I always ask what's your top three technologies that's a must have. So you must make sure that those must haves are clearly outlined in your resume. This is going to help you to stand out. Trying to condense your resume. Oh my gosh, I have seen some of these tech resumes that are 15 pages long.
Right.
Try to condense it down. Generally, people don't need to see more than like 10 years. And I know that in 10 years, if you've had 10 positions and you've done a lot, it's going to be longer, but try to condense that down.
Because Jay, talk about that though, real quick. Because if I'm a senior, I'm a senior position. I've been in it for 15 years, and I do have, 15, pages worth, which I've seen the same, 12, 13 pages worth of a resume. How does one encapsulate such a, robust career and still get out the points that need to be relevant for that position?
For me, what I like to do, if I have to recreate or I have to condense, what I typically do is I take their first however many years and I make that the standpoint. And then on a second page, if I have to go to a second page, I'll list out other companies that I've worked with. And I will clearly put on there, if you need details for these companies, can be given. Now, what's cool about that is here's the caveat. If one of those positions is the one position that you need to showcase for the new role, then it needs to put on the resume.
Right.
A new resume should be crafted for every position that you're applying for. Unless you're applying for the same type of position over and over and over, which is not likely, you need to make tweaks to your resume before.
Say that key part again, though.
You need to recreate your resume for different jobs you are applying for.
Yes.
So you should have 3, 4, 5 different resumes showcasing different things that you've done.
Right. Because I think so often people feel like, this is my resume. This is my one, I've done this. This is true. But each position, each job, rec is different. You want to make sure, like you said, you're presenting, like Josh said, you're presenting what they're asking for. You might have it, but if it's on page 9, and they don't want to get that far. Most people don't want to read, recruiters don't want to read that far down. You have to make sure that you're presenting your best foot, but you have to revamp it. It's interesting, just like the economy, just like the businesses that were companies were looking to work for, have to keep retooling, right? They can't stay with just the same approach that worked 15 years ago for them or 10 years ago for them. They have to keep retooling. You as an employee looking for a job in your resume, you must retool your resume and keep it fresh, but also distinctive and clear for what that particular job rec is asking for. We cannot emphasize that enough because same with me, when I'm looking at resumes, I'll talk to, and if I choose to go deep enough and I talk to someone and I hear from them, yes, Mark, I've I have the what you're looking for. I just didn't put it on because this has been my resume for the past 8-9 years. And my first thought is, well, you're not willing to do what needs to be done in a new market, in a new era, to make sure you continue pushing yourself forward, you know, because that's what we have to do if we're trying to be, you know, stand out in a market that is, you know, let's call it what it is. In every industry, it seems to be oversaturated, right? In every field, in every aspect of skill sets, it seems to be oversaturated. Seems to be, not always is, but seems to be. How do you stand out is by making sure you keep yourself fresh. I just want to throw that in.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not that hard. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, I have to recreate 9 pages. No. When you create your resume and you put at the top your skills, oh, I've got skills in this, this, and this. You want to make sure that those, because let's be real, the manager probably looks at the first page, maybe the second.
Maybe.
So within that experience, it needs to state on that first page the relevancy to the new position. So, you know, it doesn't matter what they're looking for. You know, I need an ETL specialist who's got 10 years of experience. So right off the bat, it needs to show that. Been working with ETL for 10 years, you know, that's in your list. And so it's not all that difficult to revamp. It's just something that needs to be done. You know, your resume could say, oh, you're good for 10 different positions, but you really want to hone in on that position that you're going for. That's going to set you apart from a lot of other people. Now, with that said, it kind of goes into the next part of this is nailing the job application. Mm-hmm. So like Mark had kind of said, there are a lot of tools out there now with AI that have made this very interesting. And I'm going to tell you why. And again, these are just my opinion. So if you would love to tell me your opinion, that'd be great. I welcome it and would love to be able to talk about it further. But in nailing the job application, again, it's making sure when you apply for that job, your resume speaks to that job. Now, with AI now and ChatGPT, you have the ability to upload the job description and upload your resume, and it'll recreate your resume to the job description. Now, here's what I feel are the pros and cons. Sometimes ChatGPT is smarter than we are, and it will recreate that resume to make it look like you are someone you're not. So you need to be careful, because overselling yourself on your resume and in an interview process can be detrimental as well. If you truly are that awesome and can do that job to 200%, that's great. But some of us, there's the learning curve. There's some things that we need to learn. And ChatGPT doesn't know that. Yes, you can put in all the parameters you want, but you really need to be careful when you're creating one to make sure it's outlining who you are, your capabilities, your strengths and weaknesses. And don't ever be afraid to talk about your weaknesses, because we all have room to grow somewhere. But you need to make sure that it's showcasing you correctly. If it comes out and you even read it and it's too good to be true, then you really don't want to get it submitted. And with all of the new technology, people are they're looking at that. They're like, oh, who wrote this? Like for me, I made a LinkedIn post not too long ago and ran it through ChatGPT. And what came out, it made me sound like I was a professor. It was great. But you've got to be careful with what you're doing in today's technology. So again, in nailing the job application, you're making sure that's relevant information to the job that you're going for.
And you're so correct on that, because this is the thing, guys. I know we want to stand out. You say, well, if I put my best foot forward, and you know, and I just want to get the interview. Yeah, but you also don't want to get the interview and then you show up and then you have none of the other, you know, requisites necessary in order for you to fit that position. That looks bad on you as well. And don't go through an agency, you know, and you guys, that looks bad for the agency as well. Again, we all have to work together in synergy to make this work, and double checking as you would, as we did say 10, 15 years ago, double check your errors right in your resume, making sure the comma is in the right place, making sure the spelling is correct, making sure the font is correct, right? As just like Josh is saying, just because you use ChatGPT, say that 10 times fast, Josh.
Exactly. ChatGPT. I think I've already stumbled over just saying it once.
Right. Just because you use that, ladies and gentlemen, he's not saying don't. He's saying make sure with this new technology, you make sure you check it. Just make sure and do not get into a position. I have to caution people, because we're so, let's just say you got laid off 3 months ago. And now you have to revamp your resume and you have to get a job that you weren't looking to do 3 months ago, right? Let's just keep it above. Let's keep it 100, right, everybody? Like, this is real life. People, you know, you were in your position for 8 years. You just got laid off. Didn't expect that. So you're like, look, I got to compete, even though I'm worth this position. I read a job prereq. I don't feel like taking the time out because I'm, you know, stressed over the kids. I'm trying to handle the back bills. So you put it in ChatGPT and it comes out, it spits out, you know, a scrum master that you don't have or Six Sigma you don't have, right? But you are close to those positions. You have a few of the prerequisites and you let that go. Don't do that, ladies and gentlemen. Stay true to, again, character. Stay true to what's genuine and what's right, because if you do that, it will work out the way you want it to. All right. So I know we talk a lot of times here, you know, high level, we talk so business, you know, centered focused, but at the end of the day, we're people. At the end of the day, we're humans. At the end of the day, we do have stressors. We do have things that I got to get a new job. I got to get a new job. Yes, you do need to get a new job, but you also need to understand you have to do it right. All right.
Yeah.
Doing it right means doing it strategically, the proper way, using the new technology, if I can say that one time, right? Using the new technology, but use it in a way where, again, it just clears up, you know, what you do offer and what you do bring to the table in a way where we can now present you the best way possible.
Yeah. It's making it your own. Differentiate yourself, because you got to think, if there's 20 people applying for this position, I'm willing to bet you 17 of them also went to ChatGPT. So your resumes all might look the same based on the technology that they're asking for. So again, what do you do to differentiate yourself? So you need to take their creative way of presenting you, make it your own, make sure that the information is correct. Because what happens is your resume goes to this talent acquisition, this hiring manager, it doesn't matter. It goes to someone. They mm-hmm. read it. Then they create questions off of it. Oh, so it shows me here that you did A, B, and C. And you're like, no, you just lost. Like you just lost all credibility. There's a good chance you're not going to get the job.
Good time.
So you need to make sure that all of that goes together. So crafting your resume goes right into nailing the job application and making sure. And
Josh, before I keep your thought, I just want to say this, guys. From a staffing agency perspective, you know, we keep Rolodex of everyone that we work with and that we potentially put on projects. So even if you didn't get hired at that particular, you know, job, we have a Rolodex of, you know, I've talked to you, I work with you. When we put you in front of that hiring manager, whoever it might be, and it comes out that that resume was, you know, falsified, or it was, you know, you embellished a little bit more than you should have, that puts a bad taste in our mouth as well as the hiring managers, as a staffing firm, to want to represent you and want to send you to the next job, you know, potential. So you have to think about it from all aspects. Like Josh is saying, it's not just about, hey, I need to get this job or I want to look my best. It's just be what you are and allow for what, you know, just make sure you're reading everything thoroughly. If you're submitting for the right job rec or job position, you'll be fine, you know?
Yep.
But again, you have to do that work, and it's not fun. No, but it has to be done. That's what we do as a staffing firm. We dig through so much as staffing agencies, right, Josh? We dig through so much from after we talk to the hiring rep and get, you know, their rec. We have to now go through and search through thousands of resumes and really weed out who it is that can actually fit this position, right? And we have to kind of be detectives in a sense and say, okay, yeah, this sounds like it might be kind of fake or phony, right? And that may not be fair, but that's just the reality of it, right? So if you present yourself truthfully, then we can weed out quicker and present you faster.
Yeah, I mean, so if you look at the overall process, you know, with our staffing agency, your recruiter is going to go through your resume in depth, and they're going to match your skill sets so if they've done their good job, they're going to match your resume with the skill sets and make sure there's no issues. Okay. Then it's going to go generally to who's ever over recruiting. Could be a VP recruiting, who could be somebody you report to. Generally, they'll take a look at it too, to make sure that it's being submitted correctly. Then if it's done right, it goes to someone like me who's client facing on the sales side of it. I'm also going to look at it because I'm not just going to present anyone. Now, I myself have worked with my recruiters for quite some time, so I trust what they have to say, but that has to be built. But still, there's going to be multiple people who are going to look at this resume and have their own perception of it mm-hmm. before it even gets to the client. So we have to make sure that resume is a direct representation of you and it matches the application that you're presenting yourself to.
I totally agree. Let me ask you this, Josh, in the topic of nailing the job application, What do you think about leveraging professional networks for referrals? What do you think about that? Or how should they approach leveraging, you know, professional networks like, you know, SHRM or, you know, obviously we know LinkedIn and all that stuff. But what do you think about, you know, for referrals in order to get positions? What do you think about that aspect?
I think that's the best. It doesn't matter where a referral comes from, it's warm. Let's just say you've got a friend that works at company A, B, and C. They've got a way in. You've been good friends. They can vouch for you. Amazing. Or here's the beauty of agencies is we make calls every day. We create relationships. We build these. And again, I keep saying relationships. So we have them. So if we like you and your resume is great and you're a great personality and we've gotten to know you, we're your warm, you know, we're we get to go and say, hey, look, this guy's great. We've worked with them and so on. I think being able to get warm introductions and having other people who help you get in these positions, let's be real. That's how most of us get our next job. We know somebody who knows somebody who's looking for somebody. That's the easiest way to get in.
Yeah.
So I think if you're out there and you don't have these relationships, it's good to work with agencies. And again, way down the road, we'll start talking about how you pick the right agency, the things that the do's and the don'ts and that type of stuff. So that stuff we'll talk about later. But I think it's great. If you can get a warm introduction from any part of any of this, you're great. You're doing good.
And guys, Josh and I, we work together. So, you know, we here on this platform and we have our own, you know, situations that we work through and networks that we have. Being connected to us here on this platform is a good idea for you. If you have, you know, if you're looking for a job, you're looking for, you know, a position, reaching out to us and talking to us, we would be happy to help. You know, I mean, Josh, how many, what's your Rolodex, would you say, of companies that you have worked with in the past few years, would you say? Just
at this point, thousands.
Right, right.
And individuals, lots of thousands. So exactly. It's networking at its best. You know, that's what we do. You know, and I've spent my entire life networking, whether it's, you know, within the staffing industry, fitness industry, anything. I think networking is the most important because you always got to know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody, and that will get you a lot further down the road. So like Mark had said, we would love to spend some time with you individually. You know, reach out to us on our website and say, hey, look, I'd love for you to go over my resume. You know, maybe we can do a practice interview and kind of pick you apart.
Right.
And that leads us to our next topic of preparing for the interview. It's, you know, I this part is odd to me because I don't think enough people do this. So I require my recruiters to reach out before the interview, because let's face it, not everybody is good at interviewing. You may be the greatest software engineer in the world. It doesn't mean you know how to interview.
Talk about that, especially with ITs. Talk about that.
Oh my gosh. Let's be real. Some IT individuals, personality, they're lacking a little bit on that, they're not real good with being in the spotlight and stuff like that. They just want to get their job done. So,
right. That's facts. And that's facts, because there's no knock on individuals, but most of them are introverts, you know, most are, because you're behind a computer, you're coding all day. You're trying to make sure everything you're focused on is not with interacting with other individuals.
Yeah. And so it's extremely important if you're working with an agency that before your interview, you spend at least 15 minutes preparing for the interview. And what I mean by preparing is this recruiter, or even if you're talking to the sales guy, they should know questions from the manager that they're going to ask you. So they should kind of interview you and try to get you comfortable and give you some different word tracks, different ways to present yourself. Do not show up to the interview with a backwards cap and a t-shirt on. You still need to look professional. I was told a long time ago that you dress for the part you want, not the part that you're getting. So when I go to an interview still today, I'm in a suit and tie. Now, a lot of people don't wear ties, but I do. I find that I want to put my best foot forward, and I'm dressing as if I'm going to be the CEO of that company tomorrow. I want to wow them. So when I go into my interviews, I'm dressed well, I'm ready to go, I'm polished, I understand the company. And that's another thing too. You need to do your back-end research. You need to know who the CEO is. You need to know who the company is. You need to know what they do. I don't know how many times I've brought a candidate into an interview and they don't even know the company that they're interviewing for. They don't know nothing. You're not going to stand apart. It's the person who knows about the company, knows how they're going to best fit in, and has the knowledge. You know,
go ahead.
And it can become frustrating when people don't do just the simplest things to get through the process correctly. You should always have questions. Always. And I'm going to give you a couple questions that work every time. So go ahead, Mark.
I'm glad you're going to do that. Real quick, I want to say this because what's common sense is not always common, right? So we understand that, right? So he's absolutely correct. And hold your, because I want you to give them the sample questions. But guys, it's not only because a lot of it has been online too. A lot of it's, you know, Zoom calls or, you know, WebEx, you know, meetings in relation to trying to get the first interview. But the prep work is so important. If you know that you're not a great communicator, if you're working with the staffing firm, one thing like Josh and I said, with our teams, I make sure we do at least a 30, 40 minute prep prior to the interview just to have conversation. Because even with not only the physical presentation of the suit and tie, which is, I totally agree with you, Josh. I mean, shoot, me and Josh are sitting here collared shirts, right? We don't necessarily have to, right? But we understand the importance of presentation. But then the communication aspect of it as well. Being able to offer your talents and your skills in a way where you're not... But one thing working with IT professionals over the past few years, like, as you said, it's sometimes it's like pulling teeth and being able to just have basic conversation. And one thing you want to do when you're trying to develop any relationship, think about it when you're going on your first date. If you have to, as a guy, you know, to the lady, right? If you have to kind of pull out of her, you know, questions like, you know, you got brothers and sisters, and she gives you a one word answer, and then you got to sit there for a minute. And you got to try to figure it out, right? It becomes like, I don't think this relationship is going to work, right? I don't think we fit one another. So what we want to do is we want to make sure if you're not practicing with someone, our IT professionals out there, and we're not trying to indict you all, but we just know that a lot of times you don't necessarily think about the other side of the interview process, which is you have to be able to give conversation fluently in a way where you're able to not only just talk about, you know, the actual skills specificity, but also to just making sure you're developing a commonality. Ask, you know, one thing I would say this, ask the interviewer some questions. It's okay. It's okay to ask the interviewer some questions sometimes. I think sometimes we get afraid. We're like, I'm just here. Especially, I will say, if they're offshore, you know, which is a totally different, you know, because it's cultural differences and things like that. But don't be afraid to have a back and forth dialogue. And you can ask questions because that allows the interviewer, the hiring rep, to feel like you really want to be engaged with what's going on. And a lot of times they'll even give you more information that you can use within an interview to help you look better.
Okay? And Mark, with what you just said, is important. It shows you're engaged, interested, and understand what's going on and understand what you're interviewing for. You go into that interview and you have no questions for them, they don't think you're interested. Yeah. Like, well, why don't they have any questions? Believe it or not, it's a big part of this.
It is. And that's why, like you and I both, we spend time with candidates before the interview in relation to, again, developing. But Josh and I use this, and you're going to get ad nauseum. You're going to get tired of us saying this, but we develop relationships across the board. If you're a candidate, we talk to you. We have to get you to understand how to converse if you're not. And we know. I mean, Josh and I, yeah, as you guys can tell, I guess, we have a little gift of gab, true enough. But we also are good with understanding people and understanding, you know, context clues, if you will, in conversation. And if it's lacking in someone looking to get a position where they're earning 160K a year, you know, 170K a year, if they're not able to communicate, but yet their skill set is worth that position, we want to make sure we take time with you to understand how to present yourself in your vernacular and in your emotion to bring that interviewer in to want to hire you. Because it's the little things that will set you apart, not the big things. Not the degrees, not the years of earning. It's how can you relate? How can you feel or make that interviewer feel engaged, that you are engaged in what they have to offer as a company, because they want you to be there for the next 5, 10, 20 years of their growth, right? That's the whole objective, really. But if I can't communicate with you, I don't feel like in the first interview of us communicating, how do I feel like I can last with you, you know, in a relationship? Like I said, just like dating, it doesn't work.
Yeah, so absolutely. You know, and for me, so there's one fallback question I always use, because it's kind of, when you get into an interview, I don't care how many times you've interviewed, if you're interviewing for a position you truly want, it's a little bit nerve wracking. So one of my favorite things is when they turn it around on me, hey, so what questions do you have for me? My first question is always, tell me what you think would make somebody successful in this role. What would really make somebody stand out in this role? What are you really looking for? They're going to give you so much information that you can build questions from there. I always like to ask, hey, candidly speaking, How do you feel based on our conversation today that I would do in this particular role? Do you think there's any things I would struggle with or be really good at? Let them critique you. Let them give you that constructive criticism. Most of the time, if it's a good fit, you'll get a good response.
Hey, Jay, give that last one again. I like that one. Give that again. What would you ask?
So I like to ask them, hey, how do you feel I would do in this role? Based on our conversation, based on my resume, based on what we've gone over today, how do you feel I would do in this role?
That's beautiful. And those two alone, I mean, are worth so much gold, I do believe, because I don't think enough people in the interview process, one thing I always like to say is don't be caught off guard. You know, you're interviewing them too. Let's be 100. Like, your interview, because this is a company you want to work with or organization you want to grow with, so you can, again, like I've talked about before in other episodes, you have food you want to put on the table. You know, you have vacations you want to take. You know, you have college, you know, funds you need to, you know, take care of. So this is an interview for them too. I think a lot of times we're put on our heels because we feel like, well, you know, am I worthy? Is this, you know, do I have everything necessary to, you know, fulfill this position? That will all iron itself out. I think we have to allow people to feel empowered. And I think what you said there, Josh, by asking those particular questions, not only are you making them feel like you're engaged, which you are, but you're also putting them on their heels to make them think about, hey, does this person really fit this position? And once you have them thinking longer about you and a little bit more in depth about you, you're most likely to stand out a little bit further.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's one thing you have to understand with that last question. You've got to be ready for the answer. And what I mean by that is they could say, oh, I think you're going to struggle. Uh-oh. What are you going to do? This is now your time to resell yourself. This is your time to overcome their objections.
That's beautiful, Jay.
So with when they say that, I think you're going to struggle. Well, tell me why. What parts about this do you think I'm going to struggle? Well, we feel A, B, and C. That gives you a chance to nip their objections right then and there, because what's going to happen is if you didn't ask that question, you didn't get those answers, they would have gone back to their managers and say, hey, I kind of feel like this is where he's lacking. Yeah. But with you asking that question, now you have an opportunity to get those to go away and to give the proper reassurance that you need to get into that position. And now he goes back to the next manager and says, wow, like I kind of felt this way in the beginning, but he really sold me on this and this, this, and this. And
let me say this, Josh, that is brilliant. And you're absolutely correct. And I just want to throw a little caveat into that as far as not even a caveat. Everything you said is perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure when you are able to respond to give a little bit more of who you are, it's not coming from a defensive standpoint as well, because you can also respond to that question if you don't do it right, where, you know, now it's coming off as I'm trying to protect, you know, or show, you know, or retain some sense of respect of my position or what I know I can deliver. It's a fine line you have to toe with that as well. You want to make sure that you're doing it in a way where you're just giving the facts of why you think you can be good at it, not so much from the opinion or from an offensive standpoint, or no, defensive standpoint, excuse me. All right. But everything you're saying, though, is spot on, Jay, because it allows for so much more conversation and selling of yourself if done properly. And again, this is why, if you don't know what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you contact us on our website, and Josh and I can set up interview times with you to go over how we would do this, because we do this on a daily basis. So we do.
Yeah. even if you want to role play, I'm sorry, but I love role plays. This really helped me in my career in the sales process, is understanding what to do. So we can go over scenarios. If you are not working with an agency and you've got a huge interview coming up with a large company, I don't care what the role is, and you're like, shoot, I really want to see, I haven't done this before, or it's been 10 years. I've met people that it's been 30 years since they interviewed.
Yeah, you're right.
They've been an IT director or a CISO or something for 30 years for a company. They have no idea how to interview. If you're at that level, let us know. We would love to talk to you. I love to role play. So we might even do some segments on role playing. Like, you know, Mark can pretend he's a hiring manager and I can do, so we can do that to help you. But we would love to help you throughout your process. And if you're having any, you know, issues or you're not comfortable, we're here for you. We're here to help. So I think that with those three things, you know, standout resume, nailing the job application, and preparing for the interview are definitely the first three most important things to this process. And I think we've given you kind of a really good overview of what those look like. But preparing for the interview, it's almost like, you know, you can use any analogy you want. you prep, you spend weeks doing, getting ready for something. And at game day, it all falls apart.
Yeah, right.
Because you didn't have the quite preparation. You didn't get there. Like, you don't want that to happen. So let us help you get, you know, over that finish line successfully and help you to ask these questions. And again, like Mark said, not all IT people are very well spoken. You may be able to communicate to you know, your friends and your people and your organization, but you need to learn to communicate to this new role in that way. So talking with somebody like us who can give you pointers, who can change your thought process, who can show you kind of, hey, where you need to pick up, it can be very beneficial for you.
Yeah, we got you guys. So look, guys, these were the top 3 points. Just to recap, we talked about first, crafting a standout resume, the importance of that. Second, we talked about nailing the job application and the AI usage, making sure if you're going to use that, how to use it properly, and then preparing for, as we just left off on, preparing for the interview. Look, we have 7 other major points in our firepower breakout sessions that we want to go over with you guys that Josh and I are going to discuss. One that we think is very important, right, Josh? One talking about negotiating job offers. We do believe that a lot of people overlook that, how to do that, and do it properly and do it right, to where you can get, you know, what did you like to say, Josh? Don't just go for the money.
Yeah, don't ever just go for the money. There are so many factors that come into play with this. It's extremely important. Don't sell yourself short.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that further in our other section that we have for you guys. It's not a free section to talk to you guys about that. So you have to go to our website to figure out how to get that information. And we're also going to talk about in that section, continuing the learning and professional development importance, especially in this day and age. So Josh has told you, there's AI usage, as we all know, ChatGPT is here. But how are we developing ourselves, and what are we looking to acquire knowledge in order to allow us to move further? And are we acquiring the right knowledge in the fields that we're trying to be in? That's important as well. And we're going to discuss all these things, okay? But we hope what we share with you guys so far has been fantastic. Go ahead, Jay. What were you going to say, brother?
I've got one little meme that popped into my head that I've seen a lot lately that makes a lot of sense. And it says, you're going to pay me for my experience, not my time. Remember that.
My experience, not my time.
You're going to pay me for my experience, not my time. Meaning somebody with 20 years of, we can use anything. Somebody of 20 years of laying brick is going to probably be better than the guy that's been doing it for 5. So you're paying him for that experience and his knowledge. You're not paying him for his time. So keep that in mind when you're kind of going over those salaries and things that you want.
That's what's up. Thanks, Jay. So guys, we appreciate you. We hope we shed some light on some interesting parts on this demystifying the hiring process, the guide for job seekers. We have way more that we're going to leave you guys with. Anything else before we close out, Jay?
No, I think that was a great episode, and I really appreciate you guys joining. And again, reach out to us. Let us know where you need some help.
Yep, we're here for you. And don't be afraid of the times. It's always up and down, ebb and flow. But it's your preparation when it's down. You know, you buy low, sell high, right? So when it's low, you build when it's low, right? You learn, you restack your tools, and this is the time we're here to help you guys, okay? So we'll see you guys again on Higher Power Tech Podcast on the next episode, all right?
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.